نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد بن الجود والكرم. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وآله والكرم. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وآله وصحبه وبارك وسلم.
Our in this world, coming to this world, our reason, our purpose is one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us, He sent us to this world after making us human beings, and Allah sent us to this world with an objective, with a purpose. And our purpose is just one, is just one objective. And that is to attain the pleasure of our Lord. That our Malik, our Creator, our Owner, our Sustainer, we, which is the true way to His pleasure, we need to implement that. We need to fulfill that. That's it. That is all it is. Eating, drinking, Allah Ta'ala has given us everything in the world. Everything is for the human beings, for us. But this objective, always remember it. And never will the human being fail or be unsuccessful. The reason we fail or we are not successful in this world is when we forget, or when an individual forgets that objective. Whenever the human being forgets his destination, his end point, then we call him an astray person. Astray person. He is deviated off the tracks. And such a human being can never reach his destination. He is lost, he is here and there, left and right, up and down. Because he's forgotten his objective, then he makes something else his objective. He makes another agenda his purpose. But in reality, he's astray. That person is astray. So such a human being who has forgotten his destination, his end point, that we've come to this world for a period of time, Allah sent us here for a short period of time, and the objective was this: the pleasure of Haqq, the pleasure of Allah, to please Allah, the Lord. Now you can see yourself that the situations, all of them, in the whole dunya, I'm not talking about the ghair, the people, I'm talking about our own people who have everything. That how many people remember this objective of life? You won't see anyone. You won't see anybody. So for this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, because Allah knows everything, sees everything, He knows everything, He's aware, that these people, I don't want them to forget the objective. So Allah helped us. And Allah via the Anbiya alayhimus salam. Allah Ta'ala said them from time to time. Allah Ta'ala sternly reminded us, with love reminded us. Allah gave punishment to remind us. Allah gave rewards and to make us understand that these people shouldn't forget the objective. This was Allah's mercy and blessings on us. This was His blessings on us. In other words, Allah is assisting us, helping us along the way. Don't think that Allah sent you, Allah says, I've not just sent you to the world and kicked you out. No, I'm assisting you, helping you along the way. You forget. Then the Prophet comes again. Then he reminds that message, revives that message. All the Prophets had just one objective, the same. That when these people forget their way, then remind them of the path, the journey. Then bring them back onto the path. Then when they come off track again, the people, and then that first of all be okay and walk along the path. When the Nabi would depart, then they themselves would go astray again, become weak again. And then the complete help that Allah Ta'ala gave via the Anbiya alayhimus salam, the Prophets, through the world physically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave assistance also from the heavens. Allah Ta'ala gave kitabs from the heavens, books, guidance. Alongside that, the human beings got total guidance from the heavenly books that Allah Ta'ala sent. And that Allah also gave ibadat, acts of worship, via His Nabis who demonstrated. So Allah Ta'ala helped the human beings. Allah Ta'ala then after that did what? Even then the human beings, despite the Prophets coming from time to time, despite attaining books, despite getting acts of worship, even then insan went towards unsuccessful results. Failure. What was the reason for that? That in ibadat, the worship, actions through the messages of the Prophets themselves, they said to the Prophets, that you look at the life of the Prophets, their conditions, their lives, they rejected the Nabis. They did oppression against the Nabis. What was the reason for this? This is a very great subject, so listen attentively to what I'm saying. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. Because these are the words that make a human being strong. Remember this, what I'm saying to you. So, the Prophets came, the books came, ibadat came. Then what happened? What's the reason? Why did the human being get deviated again? What made the human being go off track? That was the most dangerous thing. That is love of the world. Hubbe dunya. The love of the world. Love of dunya. That even if the Prophets there, despite having the kitab, the books, and having ibadat, then a person, he comes off his path and track, then he forgets his objective, then Allah has given the sign of this. The reason for this is hubbe dunya. The most dangerous thing is what? The love of the dunya, which makes a person, overwhelms a person. Overwhelms a person. So dangerous is it that the final Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and he gave a unique example of this point of love of dunya, that just like you have a river, next to that you have a shepherd, and then you have the goats, the sheep, and you have a hungry wolf, then what will he do to those sheep and goats? He will rip them apart. He's hungry and he's got the prey. He'll rip them apart, all the sheep and the goats. It's stated the dunya is the same. The insan, when he's overwhelmed by the dunya, then it wipes away the name and the signs of deen, and it makes the person destroyed. Everything, then he just sees dunya through the vision of dunya, through the magnifying glass of dunya. So much the dunya overtakes a person that he thinks dunya is everything, the be all, the end all, and he's immersed in the dunya to this extent that the time comes for that person to depart from here. And then he starts to wipe his hands. What's happened to me? I've made big mistakes. Oh, I was so enjoying this world. Oh, what have I done? He starts to regret at that time. So this hubbe dunya, love of the dunya. Today the human being sat in the dunya, the world. And this is the world of temporary things, material things. It's a material environment we're in. Material society, today's day and age, this generation we're in now, is totally, completely in the dunya. A person is immersed in the dunya today. Otherwise you would see yourself that we have no lack of dini resources around us, have we? No lack. Nothing's lacking. How many madaris we have, how many schools we have, so many jamaat, so much work of the deen. Is it happening or not all of this? Tell me. We have Quran everywhere, so much Quran. I think no other generation before us. The sahaba kiram, the poor companions, they used to write on pieces of paper, on stones, and scribing, and they used to listen to the Quran. So much, despite having so many resources, not that in the deen there's something lacking. There's gaps. Masajid, masjids, there will be no place you'll go to in the world that you don't find a masjid now. MashaAllah, brothers who do tabliq, who go on journey, they know you can go anywhere. Masjids you will see. Everywhere you'll see masjids. The masjids aren't empty, are they? There's a tabliq there, there's speeches there, there's Jummah there, hadith are read, there's dars and there's talks. Everything takes place in the masjid. Happens, isn't it? So what's the reason then? Hubbe dunya. Love of the world. Those ibadat that we do, worship actions, tomorrow Jummah, our masjids will be full. Then after a few days, after some time, Jummah will end. That public that came to Jummah, they'll be immersed in the dunya, enjoying life in the world. The world will overtake them again. Why? Because that ibadah that a human being does in reality, it's not the ibadah for his objective, his purpose. Because he's not doing the ibadah to put this purpose in front of him, or praying salah, whatever ibadah he's doing. It's not for this purpose that is the real our purpose, which is the pleasure of Allah. In other words, I'm praying salah for this reason, that he will pray all salah with that preparation. He comes to, I am praying salah for Allah to his pleasure. That salah is something else completely. Jummah comes, the preparation of that Jummah for that person. After a week, this great day Allah Ta'ala has given to me, in that I need to find Allah's pleasure through the ibadah, which is the ibadah, the act of worship of Jummah. When those ibadat he does with the mission of pleasure of Allah, then the color and effect of that is totally different. So ibadat, there's nothing lacking in worship, there's no lack of masajid, there's nothing else lacking in the resources of deen. What is lacking is that we are doing all actions with hubbe dunya, love of the dunya. The love of the dunya is what's with us, and it doesn't allow us to understand that you've just prayed salah. Where was your thinking during salah? That what did you want during salah? Every amal that you do, every action, whichever amal you're doing, whatever action you're doing, wherever you are, I ask for forgiveness. I apologize in advance. In reality, I'm telling you the truth, is that material things have overtaken us. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said himself, to us, the hubbe dunya, love of the dunya. Yes, there are many hadith with regards to hubbe dunya, love of the world. So what's the cure for this? So this word, this subject I'm discussing for this reason, that is not an objective for me to give a speech or a lecture. That's not what we're here for. Some people, our brothers, are here gathered. Allah sent them, fine. Some also externally, alhamdulillah, also listening to our words, whoever Allah Ta'ala has given the tawfiq to, their listening, those who are not here, present physically. So the point is this, that these words, this discussion, the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, from his blessed statement in the form of hadith, and a mu'min is listening to the hadith, and then he doesn't change. The Holy Prophet is presenting a statement that the person who doesn't pray salah in the morning, then his condition is such that when he leaves Jama'ah, congregation, his condition is such, that person, the Holy Prophet, the truth, the sincere said, and his statement and his message is coming to us. And we sit, we come to the majlis, we listen. Then why don't we change? Tell me. Let's go beyond this. That if a person arrives to the company of a sheikh, yeah, and you go there to the company of the teacher, and this is my field, not 1 or 2 years, decades have passed in this field, lots of experience, observation. So why does this happen that 50, 60 years somebody's sitting? I'm seeing as well that so many years I'm seeing people. And then, despite going forward, he's going back. It's 40, 50 years sitting, they have company. So instead of going forward, they're going backwards. And then there's somebody else who has arrived and he listens to the words, and then his response of coming is such, I'm telling you from my experience, and I've seen this in people. His position of coming, he comes to that sheikh, is such that he, when he leaves the company of that sheikh, then the person who came, he came full of the dunya. The wild dunya had overtaken him, he had the burden of his sins, and he was different when he came, and his style was different when he came, and he was immersed in wealth and worldly things. But when he arrived to that sheikh, to that teacher, and when he sat next to that teacher, to the sheikh, and he listened to the words, then after getting up, he didn't stay that same human being. He wasn't that same human being. He wasn't the same as before. That body wasn't the same. His style of life didn't remain as before. That love of the dunya didn't remain. Everything he finished slowly, slowly. And his color changed. His style changed. In the first meeting. In the first sitting. So why did this happen? Why was there a big difference? And there's another person 30 years, 50 years, 40 years. And he comes to dhikr, comes to the majlis as well. They sit down as well. They do dhikr as well. And they tell people as well, I have a sheikh, and I have a Qadri sheikh, or Chishtiya sheikh, or I have a Naqshbandi sheikh. They say this to people. But why is there a big difference that there's a man who came once and he changed? Just like the majlis is here, people are listening. And the great achievement is this, that today somebody listens to today's subject, and after that his life changes, reforms. I'm telling you, why am I speaking? I'm telling you, isn't it? Why am I speaking? Because life changes for the people. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran has stated to his Nabi, that why are you upset? Don't be distressed, my Nabi. Don't be sad that you call and they don't come or they don't listen to you. Yeah, so Allah Ta'ala is giving reassurance to his Nabi that sometimes Mashaykh Ikram, the honorable Mashaykh in this day and age, when they deliver the message and then they see the hal of the dunya, the condition, that from 60 years someone with me, 50 years an individual is with me, and he helps that person. And then when that person doesn't respond, then the teacher, at least he goes down a bit, doesn't he? He's affected a bit. Yes, yes. Just like if you look at the example of the Holy Prophet, how Allah reassured his Nabi, so you have no need to be distressed. Your duty and your work is to deliver the message, Allah Ta'ala said. Yes, and Allah Ta'ala says to the clouds, why do you look for the barren land? You drop the rain and whichever earth requires you, the water will reach there. Why are you standing there, the cloud, shall I drop the water here or not? It's hard, this land underneath me, or it's moist. No, Allah says your job is to allow the water to drop from you. Sometimes the land below could be moist, it could be fertile, it could be barren, it could be dry. Do you understand what I'm saying? Summun bukmun umyun. For why does a person become like this? And suddenly he changes the person. Yes, in my life I've seen observation is surprised a person that subhanAllah, the next day, third time, fanafallah, he's mashallah, with that dhikr, he's going in high in the levels, attaining, achieving. And the other person, he's thinking still, what should I do? Should I do this? Shall I not practice? Shall I practice? How shall I do? Shall I do this or that? Was the reason for this. And the Quran explains to us. That's why I'm saying this, that we need to think upon this subject, this point, that when this condition arises, why am I not improving? Why is the hadith not impacting me? Such a beautiful hadith I've listened to. Why is it not impacting me? Why isn't my life changing and improving due to this hadith? Because after hadith, there's nothing left. That's it. Guidance. The Holy Prophet ﷺ, blessed tongue and his statement that came from it. That's it. After that, there's nothing left to convince us. There's no nur greater than that. There's no advice greater than that. There's no greater honesty or sincere words than the words of the hadith. End of story after listening to hadith. No more need for guidance. So one word, qala qala Rasulullah. That's the end of story. Advice has come. What's left after that? Am I right or am I wrong? Tell me. So tomorrow if we say this is hadith, I don't understand the hadith. Who are we blaming? We're blaming the hadith. Is there bigger waste of a human being than this? Tell me. He goes to the majlis, I went there, I heard this. There's no benefit in that majlis. 30 years I've been going there. I don't enjoy it though. There's no benefit for me. Same point I'm explaining to you. That a human being doesn't look at his own defects. That the defects are still inside me. Why am I not improving up till now? Why am I so lazy? في قلوبهم مرضا فسادهم الله مرضا. It says, ajeeb sicknesses impact a person. He says that he is a Muslim. يؤمن بالله بالآخرة. He says that Allah, I believe in you and I believe in the hereafter. That Allah says, nah, lo yu'minu. He's not a person of faith. He's saying from his tongue, I've got iman, I believe in the hereafter. He says to Allah, says, la yu'minu. He is not a believer. Don't listen to him. So, don't we have so much recognition that what's the reason for this condition? Time and time again, the Holy Prophet ﷺ's blessed words to listen that a person cannot imagine a mu'min, the order's coming and he's not practicing. Order comes, immediately practice. Am I right or am I wrong? Kalima, if you've recited his kalima, end of story. Now you don't need to wait. You want to wait? Please instruct us so we can practice now. But after hearing, listening, lengthy speeches, technical points, today this person's coming, this scholar's coming, come advertise, we're going to listen to his speech. So this is the point, the issue, that we take enjoyment from speeches and we get a good feeling and a buzz from listening to the speeches. But our lifestyle's not improving. Am I right or am I wrong? Yes, his speech is so great, that scholar's coming, Muqarrar, Khatib, he's a big shot, Shaykhul Hadith, law, knowledge, Khutbat, and you listen, everything good, it's good, fine. But what is he saying to you? Who is he speaking about? Whose reference is he giving to you, the speaker? Whose beautiful life is he giving you the example of? Whose nur is he distributing? Think about that. So why is this not affecting us? That are we so empty and void that our heart is so hard and like a rock that it's not impacting us? That we don't go beyond towards the amal, towards practice. There's a reason. After explaining the point, what is the reason for this? The one haram thing I've heard about haram. Yes, you could hear a normal scholar. Okay, you put it to the side. Then you hear it from your sheikh, subhanallah, your teacher. That is a higher maqam, higher level. And even then that's not impacting me or you. Even then you don't leave that haram. You don't reject the haram. Then is there sickness or not? Tell me, my friends. There is a sickness, isn't it? Yes. In the hadith and in the Quran, there's no difference. They are totally confirmed knowledge. And if it's not impacting us, then the sickness is inside us. Allah says, "La yu'minu." This person is not a believer. يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. They are deceiving themselves. They're deceiving the people of belief. They're trying to deceive Allah. Allah says, إِلَّا أَنفُسُمْ. They are only deceiving themselves. Is this not in the Quran? What a great verse. Who can deceive Allah? He sat there, and Muslim showing himself, he's showing himself a believer, and he's showing completely himself. They give instruction. And the Quran says, this is all a drama, it's fake. He's no ashik, lover, nothing inside. Otherwise, from my beloved Nabi some statement, he has said something that don't go close to this, and then he goes close to that. Cannot imagine this. There's a reason for this. The reason is this, that the Quran has explained, فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضًا. The nifaq, hypocrisy is embedded in their hearts. He has recited the kalima, but he hasn't accepted it in his heart. They come, they attend. They come to the sheikh, they arrive to the sheikh, they take the hand of the sheikh, but intention is not there to reform, improve. They don't have this thought process, I want to be improved. They come to listen to the speech, to the lecture, they do everything. The big gatherings take place. By no gathering does one person have the niyyah that I want to improve myself. That human being who has the intention, this intention, I'm telling you this now. Whichever human being has this intention that I'll go, I'll do my islah, improvement, some words will absorb my brains, inshallah I will allow them to penetrate my heart and I'll do my islah, I'll improve myself because I want to live a new lease of life. That just like he said, that such an individual who comes to me like that, he then leaves as a changed person. Yes, he's seeking, he's thirsty, and the drop came to him and the flower grew. So what we learn is, the point is this, that our intention is not there that we want to improve. Our niyyah is not there that we want to improve. That insan, human being, has this intention of Allah Ta'ala, I want to please you, I want to make you happy, my objective is to make you happy, I want to attain that. And the path that Allah has instructed and formulated, if he's following that, after being reminded, the question doesn't arise that he comes off the track. Can he come off the track? Never. Yes, so this point came in between. So shall I go back towards our discussion? The first point that we were discussing, the first point. Because today, the situation that what we listen to, then every majlis of ours is like this. I say to my colleagues that my words, when you listen to my words, that you know my bayans that are there, don't select. Take every bayan that you listen to, that will it will take you to the destination. I say this, that as long as you have the intention. I will make this clear point. There's a complaint that if you have the intention and listen to this bayan and have this experience, that people have improved and changed due to this. So from one bayan a person, from one speech, from one talk a person can change. From one word. Why? Because he had the intention, I want to be corrected. A person, if the sheikh says it's haram, I will say it's haram. I won't do it. End of story. What's the benefit? The benefit of the kalama, reciting the kalama, what is it? The benefit of reciting the kalama, what is it? La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, you are Rab, and I believe in Prophet Muhammad. What is the benefit of this? Tell me. What's the benefit of this? The benefit of this kalama is this, isn't it? The kalama that we've recited. This kalima is the means to take us to the destination to attain the pleasure of Allah, is this kalima. This kalima, that can you please Allah just by reciting this kalima? It's the first step in the on the stairs. And it's this kalima. What? That Allah, whatever you say now, oh my master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, oh my prophet, whatever you've said, that's all we're going to do. This is called, he has recited the kalima, this person. Is this the case or not? This is the kalama. This is reciting the kalama. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Finished. End of story. before this that I had no agreement, I had no pact. Today I've made this pact, end of story. Whatever Allah, you say, I'll do whatever Rasulullah tells me to do, I'll do that, that's it, I won't do nothing else. That's the pact, the promise. He's changed. So the human being, when he goes to a sheikh, takes the hand of the teacher, the student, the reason that he goes for, there's no other objective of going to the teacher, is there? Yes, the dunya, the objective they've made, that's their choice. I want to do this, go to the sheikh, he does this, he shows this, he does this. This is not the objective of going to a sheikh, a teacher. There's only one reason, only one purpose. That is clear, 100% pleasure of Allah. That the teacher is the wasila, he will take me to the pleasure of Allah, he will assist me to the pleasure of Allah. He is the wasila, he is the means, the intermediary, and he's a permissible wasila, Allah said himself. He is a permissible route, because he is the means in this dunya. Because this world is a place of means and resources. Allah says, he is your resource, my wali. Through your, the wali Allah, I will take you to me. Allah says, the reason why you go to the wali Allah's company is the pleasure of Allah. With ease, just follow the sheikh and you will find your destination, the pleasure of Allah. That's it. By the student who does this action, it will never happen that he will not go to paradise, he will not become the beloved servant of Allah, and that he doesn't get the highest ala maqam. He cannot fail, such a person. If his intention is correct, that I want to be improved, reformers, whoever has the right intention, alhamdulillah, then he will obey his sheikh's words and he will follow the sheikh's example. Is this right or wrong? Tell me. So our objective is what? To please Allah, our creator. Remember, to remember this lesson, Allah sent the prophets to remind us, okay? And after that, Allah gave us ibadat. And if there are hurdles in this environment, there are hurdles, the ibadat Allah Ta'ala gave to us. Allah given us orders. The reason for the hurdles is hubbe dunya, love of the dunya. That doesn't allow us to progress and improve. That in between, I explain this point to you so that you can understand it properly. That this is such a great subject, we're discussing that now. To understand after hearing this, we should and must change our lives. Otherwise, we have a sickness inside us. And then I explain this in between, isn't it? Now I'm telling you, what is it? Hubbe dunya, love of the dunya. Yes, in between I explain that in more depth, but we come back to the point. Love of the dunya. Allah, what shall I do now? Okay, Allah, you gave us your prophets, kitabs and ibadat. Now what's happened after that? That something has come inside of us that finishes off the ibadat, love of the dunya. How should we eliminate love of the dunya? Because Allah, we want to get close to you. We want your love. Today we are chained and arrested by the dunya. We are arrested by the love of the dunya. Are we not? Or are we not? Tell me. Are we not? So what should we do now? La hubbe dunya, we are drowning in it. Love of the dunya. How do we get rid of this? There's a cure for this as well. Allah Ta'ala is going to say, subhanallah. So all of this Allah is explaining in a sequence that you can come out of this. That at least become the people of action first. To become the people who want to attain the purpose. So Allah says, I'll get you out of this trap as well. Love of the dunya, Allah says, it's not hard to get out of love of dunya. It's not difficult. The love of the world, how will it come out of us? That we don't need the love of the world and we're amassing it. We don't have time for love of dunya, but we are wasting our time in love of dunya. The love of the dunya, love of the world, we have no need for it. It will totally have not even 1% benefit for us. Yes, we are worrying about it all the time. In other words, that not even one particle of the world will go with us. We will go naked. This sometimes happens, isn't it? That, okay, or at least take one checkbook with you when you die, or take, I like this ring, okay, put his ring in the grave, or you like this watch, put his watch in the grave. The question arises, every single thing, as soon as he dies, they say he doesn't belong to him, and this is for his inheritors. This is his sons, his uncles, his mamu. In other words, so much the things are temporary of the world. Imagine. What a great statement, Hazrat Sahib used to say, that you are dying after the thing that will die. In other words, the dunya that is going to finish, you are dying for this dunya. What a beautiful statement Hazrat Sahib gave. What beautiful words Hazrat Sahib used to say. Allah, Hazrat Sahib said, you are dying for the thing that will finish. The dunya is going to finish itself, die itself, and you are dying for it. Oh, foolish person, stupid person. This, make this gold, make this, do that, wear these clothes, do this action. This is hubbe dunya, love of the world. This happens, that happens, this, one wife, two wives, third one, I want this, I want that. Even if it doesn't come, you have desires and lust. The thinking about dunya all the time, world all the time, and further. Those limits, by going, you transgressing the boundaries, Allah says, don't go beyond this limit, this is dangerous for you. Until here, you have a need. If you go beyond this, then we are transgressing the boundary, the fence, we're jumping over it to get the dunya. The ahkams, the laws of sharia, we are breaking the laws to attain the dunya, the world. And within a jolt, a shake, this dunya will disappear from us. So much love we have, that's embedded inside us. Ibadat don't affect us. There you can't, ibadat won't take out the love of the dunya. Salah will not extract the love of the world from you. Hajj, Umrah will not extract the love of the world from you. These acts of worship are not the cure for love of dunya. Say subhanallah. Yes, if it was, then everyone would be haji and mashallah, everyone would be flying around and mashallah, they would have wings on them and be flying themselves. So light, because those who have no love of dunya in their hearts, then really they're like they're floating in the air. They're so lightweight. Subhanallah. They're flying in the air. They're so lightweight. Those who have no love of dunya in the heart. That's how dangerous is hubbi dunya. Love of the world is a dangerous thing. And those who have love of the dunya, salah, fasting, hajj, tilawat, Quran, they have stacks of ibadat, but they're wasting them. They're wasting them. Because they're not making no portion of the hereafter. It's just by name, and that's also for the dunya. This sahib, this person, he does this. They're just drowned in the world. They will get not a tuck. Not even a particle. How much a person's wasting his life, so valuable life, tell me. Why? Because inside is love of the dunya. Love of the dunya hasn't gone, then two parts, just two actions and the person arrives to Jannah. Just two nafil. Two nafil. One good deed becomes such that Allah Ta'ala opens the doors of paradise. As soon as hubbi dunya departs. But there's a barrier, hubbi dunya, love of the world. That's the barrier, sticking point. This love of the dunya makes us fight. Love of the dunya makes enemies. Love of the dunya makes kharafat. Love of the dunya makes murder. Creates murder. Love of the dunya leads to facade, quarrels in our homes. Hubbi dunya leads to people running away from their lands, running, scarpering around the world. Hubbi dunya. Allah Ta'ala's love. Nobody's run around looking for love of Allah. I can't understand that. Okay, hadith is coming to my mind. I'll share it with you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Up to now? So what are the reasons? The main reason is this, that where we are stuck and trapped at the moment, what is that? The love of the world. Ula ibadat. Everything we are doing, we are immersed and drowning and mixed with love of the dunya. Contaminated. Everything, every person is stuck in this. And nobody has worry, concern that I need to eliminate love of the world. If you have a concern, then you'll do the action. No, I'm okay, we're fine. So we are content and satisfied with our condition. The biggest patient, sick patient, is he who's happy with his condition. He's the worst patient. Do you understand? Do you understand this point? The worst patient. The worst patient of sickness is satisfied. I'm fine, there's nothing wrong with me. That your kidneys failed. No, Dr. Saab, I'm totally fine. I'm okay. Oh, that your nerves are not working properly or your pulse is not correct. No, I'm fine. Your pulse rate is not right. I'm fine. That person is a goner, isn't he? Or not, tell me. Yes, medical dose I'm giving. He says that, you know, your test, the scan we took, the results, they look negative. You know, there's problems. He said, no, you're wasting your time. I'm fine. So the worst dangerous individual is that person who does not consider his sickness as a disease. No, what's the problem if I don't keep the beard? Oh, these people keep talking about the beard. Just do zikr. He's doing zikr. He's a peer. And he's made this form. Look at this. He says, no, Allah is not that strict. You know, when a person's trapped and stuck, Allah is not that strict. Allah is Rahim Kareem. He's merciful. He's Ghafoorul Rahim. Oh, these small points you're telling us about deen doesn't make a difference. They call it small. Allah's disobedience for that person, does he need proof? Does he need a big sin? Big proof? Allah's disobedience, even if it's a particle atom's weight, he's a disobedient person. Yes? Who can dare Who can day Allah's order that even a leaf sways left to right? Can this occur? Who can day? The wahid insan, human being, Allah has given a bit of a chance, flexibility to test him, that you can move around. I'm just moving you purposely. That how much daring are you, this human being? Otherwise, can we dare? That Allah said something is haram, and that haram thing, we utilize it all our life long, and nobody asks us. We can dare? That Allah is showing a sign, that Allah says, I pick you out from the world, I lift you up and I turn you upside down and I slam you back down on the earth. Allah says, that's why I also do that as a consequence. If you dare, those people are happy. Oh, the clouds have come, we'll dance now, women will come, we'll drink alcohol, they're seeing a cloud, nice weather and the monsoon. Then the clap of thunder comes and Allah shows the effect of the sin. And those winds, they blow those people away, wipe them away from the face of the earth. Why? This is love of the dunya. The person doesn't even understand, realize, no, it's no problem, no difference, it's okay, I can do this, no problem. Doesn't make any difference. Thousands of examples in front of us, but he doesn't accept that person. No, I do dhikr, I remember Allah, I do other ibadat, he's my peer, he'll take me out of this problem, my peer will pray for me. This is his excuse. Every action is due to the love of the dunya has made a person wretched. The mashayikh, yes, the connection of the peer, murid, everybody has been destroyed by this love of the world. It puts the veil in front of the person. You know, like the mother? You know the mother, that when a child is disobedient and the father says, oh, where did he go? He's done some wrong. She says, no, he's not done anything wrong. Oh, he hasn't done anything. And she hides the defects of the child. The mothers do this, don't they, regularly? No, don't say this, he's my son. He's not like this. She knows that she can smell the alcohol from his mouth. No, he didn't do anything, but she doesn't want him to get told off. So the same way, love of the dunya hides the person. No, it doesn't make any difference. It's okay. So the love of the dunya hides the person from the sins, just like the mother hides the child. Say subhanAllah. Yes, now my words are a bit dry sometimes, so I'm explaining them to you so that we can understand. If only we understand these words, and Jannah will be manufactured and paradise will be manufactured. So from this we need to release the chain of the dunya. We don't want the dunya to sit inside us, the love of the world. What are desires? Dunya. All dunya. Oh, come, let's go there, holidays, we do this, let's go there, we'll go there, we'll go there, sit on the canal, on the river bank, sit next to the water. All of this is love of dunya. So much time you've got that moth is running after you, death. Death is running after a person, and his lifestyle, his way of living. The Holy Prophet ﷺ has told us the way to physically live the life. More than 100,000 sahaba told us the lifestyle. They had the recognition, awareness that when the love of the dunya comes out, that if you know that you're going to meet Allah, Sari'ul Hisab, you have an emotion, how that person lives the life then if he has that awareness. And those people, the sahaba ikram, no, it was for them. No, they were the examples for us today. That a person, when the dunya love comes out of him, then his lifestyle, then he doesn't run around for the enjoyment of the world. In wasting his time, in waste of time, material things. Those individuals who know about the hereafter, they are living in the state of concern, extreme concern. And a letter came from a sister. Look how many sisters are elevated in rank and status. I said that sometimes those people in the first meeting, they change and reform themselves, improve themselves. I'm talking about a sister to you now, a woman. And in a letter, I read the letter today, of her letter today, and I was surprised and a bit sad that subhanAllah, that how Allah Ta'ala allows a person to understand the message. Then those people whose hearts, when love of the dunya comes out, then they don't waste their time in the dunya. They're not enjoying themselves in the dunya. I want to see this, go and have a look at that, this will happen, I'll go there today, wander there today, travel there today. That how can a person have that much time? That how can he have that much time? Spare. These are all the signs of what? Hubbe? love of the dunya. Am I right or wrong? Tell me, my friends. Think about it. These are the signs. We do so much dhikr. Hazrat Sahib said this to me, I do this. But these symptoms are not present in you, are they? This same desire is there. This equals love of the world. That the things Allah Ta'ala hasn't given to you. The things that Allah Ta'ala hasn't given to you, and you have an attraction for that. Not that the Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions, I'm telling you, their lifestyle physically. What beautiful dua of the Holy Prophet, that, oh Allah, the ni'mah, the treasure that you've taken from me or you haven't given to me. Look at this. What do? That ni'mah, we try to attain it. This is hubb ad-dunya, love of the world. This is the love of the world. He says that Allah, the Holy Prophet says that Allah, a person says, Allah, I wanted a son. You haven't given me a son. I didn't want a daughter. You gave me a daughter. Or I wanted a daughter. You didn't give me a daughter. I wanted this. That ni'mah that you have not given to me. What's the next statement? This is the life of the Sahaba, how they made their lives. This is the example that Allah gave to us, that after listening to this statement, this is how they became Sahaba, the companions. That he said, that Allah, the ni'mah that you have not given to me, what did he say? That Allah, take it out of my heart as well, that thing. Subhanallah. This is the dhubb ad-dunya coming out of the heart. What's the point of thinking about that, my Rabb? If you've not given me that thing, then take that desire out of my heart also. Subhanallah. What a great dua, great supplication. And the next statement is what? That Allah extract that ni'mah from my heart and make me busy and occupied in those actions that you like. Allahu Akbar. This is the definition. Every companion had this effect in his life. Every companion, every sahabi. What a shake they had and what students they were, subhanAllah. This was the example. Every companion, take the example of any sahabi, whoever's name was sahabi. Sahabi is who saw the blessed face of the Prophet ﷺ with iman. He would, in the first sitting sight, he would become the sahabi. Why? He would get to that level. Why didn't Abu Jahl arrive? Why didn't anyone else become a sahabi? Because Siddiq came with the intention when he came to meet his sheikh. He saw the blessed face with the intention. And he saw the current of the sheikh's sight, he injects the current into the student, within a second he improves himself. Then he becomes the special select human beings. They are the deputies of the Prophet, the mashayikh, the walis of Allah. These are hadith I'm telling you, I can share with you to prove this. Yes, that Allah has given a guarantee in the sitting in the company of the sheikh. Allah says, come and sit in the company of my wali. Why haven't you changed? But only that person improves, not Abu Jahl. Changes not Abu Jahl, but who? Sadiq, the sincere, the honest. Allah Ta'ala's wali, don't blame him that I've gone there and I've not changed. Many people blame, I went to the wali, Allah, I didn't change, I didn't improve. What was inside you when you went? Yes, Ma'amuneen, Allah said that inside you, you're not a mu'min. You don't have the niyyah, the intention to change. This woman doesn't have the intention, she wants something else from the sheikh. So this is she wants to make another connection, he wants to make another connection, and they want to make a connection with the sheikh to make dunya, to earn dunya, to earn more material things. They are having a sheikh, a teacher, so they can get more success in the world, so that they can correct and align their ma'amalat of the dunya. And in the hereafter, Allah will make them apparent that did you earn the hereafter through the company of the sheikh or the dunya from the company of the sheikh. Say subhanAllah. Those people who earn the dunya by sitting in the sohbat of their sheikh, then they will be made to stand separately. That your objective wasn't hereafter. So these sheikh, the waliullah was the deputy of the Prophet ﷺ, and illiterate people used to come, become sahaba, the people who came to the Prophet ﷺ, and the dunya people used to come to the sheikh, and they'd become walis of Allah when they depart from his gathering. Those people whose dunya is increasing and they just wanted to get from the company of the sheikh more dunya. That person who, through the company of the sheikh, whose dunya is finishing and there's less, there's a reduction, then consider that he is successful in this matter. You don't understand what I'm saying? Yes. That person, the student who goes in the company of the teacher and his dunya is increasing and he's happy, mal, temporary things, worldly things, happiness. Consider that this is the Abu Jahl who is earning the dunya, and Allah Ta'ala is giving dunya to that person. And that poor soul who was totally fine before, wealthy, and after coming, his wealth is going, zakat and here and there, and everything is gone. He's got no money, and he's got doubt. This is haram. He leaves this. This is wrong. He's leaving that as well. Oh, yaar, maybe there's something wrong. It may not be. That for the sake of Allah, I'm doing this. Did I do this out of fraud or lying? I'm leaving this as well. Everything he's sacrificing in the path of Allah, he's become a fakir. Allah says, yes, he's the darvish. He's the pious servant. Do you enjoy what I'm saying? Understand what I'm saying? This is the sign of that person, that his intention was correct. And if he goes there, what is there to ask the Shaykh, that I've got this business, how can I promote in this, progress, do dua, how my shop will run, and I can improve in my dunya, then there's nothing left for us. There's no place left for us. Yes, so that person, the company of the sheikh, that person, he's made dirt in that environment. He's the student, he's gone with the niyyah of the dunya. He's made that environment dirt, he's gone with that jazb and passion. The how can I get dunya from here? And he sticks to the sheikh, oh, I don't feel like leaving, I want the dunya. That person is lost. They go on holiday, running around, making money, wealth, going on holidays, wasting time. Who has the time, the wali Allah, to do this? Because the friends of Allah, they have left the way of the dunya, they have the effect of the sahaba, that just the person who makes his heart towards the hereafter, then he has the lifestyle of the sahaba. Say subhanallah. Yes, they don't have time for waste of time activities. They will even sacrifice the jais, permissible things. They'll say, no, it's okay, I don't want to do that. Yes, and if they do something in the world, then they do activities in the dunya just to fulfill the rights of the hukuk of the people of the world. Even there, they don't enjoy themselves. I think maybe you've understood what I'm saying. Even there, they are implementing those actions. Oh, this is a haq, I'll have to do this, otherwise, you know, if I pray tahajjud, I would enjoy myself. When this position comes, then understand the hub of dunya has come out and you've become a wali Allah. There, nafs is making another excuse. Is this the case or not? Tell me. My brothers, become darvish. Is there something lacking in us? Can you see it? Become darvish. Devotees. So, hubi dunya, love the dunya. I'm just giving a description of what's coming in my mind. What's coming in my mind? I tell you, because I'm not an educated person, as you know. Yes? I'm not literate. I don't understand things. What Allah Ta'ala instills in my mind, I share with you. If I was an alim, scholar, I'd read some kitabs, hadith, sihr sitta, and etc. Just I'm a simple, straightforward person just sitting here. I said this in advance, that if you like what I'm saying, listen. Otherwise, don't come, leave coming. Or just leave the words. My message is love. That is to deliver the message of love. That's it. Whether accept it or not, it's your choice. So now, we will continue on that discussion. What was I saying? Our objective is pleasure of Allah. I keep repeating the subject. Our objective is the pleasure of Allah. And the Anbiya, the Prophet alayhi salam, and all the Prophets came. Why? So that we don't forget our mission. They came to remind us. Anbiya alayhi salam came. They gave us ibadat, acts of worship. So we are staying on that path. So we realize our objective. But we still, at the end, get gripped by hubbi dunya, love of the dunya. And this day and age, everyone is immersed in hubbi dunya, love of the world. So now continue. As I've told you, that what is the solution? Look, we have ibadat, we have worship, we have umrah, we have hajj. All of this is attached to hubbi dunya as well today. All our holidays. Enjoyment. So now, we have a task, my friends. I'm giving you a target. What's our task? That we need to extract and eliminate hubbi dunya, love of the world. How do we eliminate love of the world? Do it and show me. Show me. You can stay all night long in salah, love of the world won't come out of you. All year keep the fast, love of dunya won't come out of you. I tell you, not from siyam, not from qiyam. It will not come out, love of the world. It will not come out. You can recite Quran, you can grind the page of the Quran, and the hope of dunya will come out, because where the solution and the cure is, only that will give the cure. Allah Ta'ala has put the cure, the solution inherent in something, only that thing will give the solution. The whoever wants to eliminate dunya from his heart, put your hands up, let me see. Whoever wants to take the love of the dunya out of his heart, put your hands up so I can give you the solution. MashaAllah, well done. Okay, fine. So at least I should know, is there someone sitting here who really wants the love of the dunya to come out? So if I present a very valuable formula, what's the point if you don't want to take it out? Maybe already the love of dunya has come out of you. Maybe. Yes, so I've told you the signs, all of them. Maybe you don't have those signs in you. So, what am I saying? I'm requesting love of the world. Okay, love of the world. What is hub? Hub. You don't know what is hub? Hub is love, isn't it? Love. Hub is love of the dunya of the world. So this dunya, love of the dunya, when it comes out, then it also comes out due to love itself. Subhanallah. So love of the world will be eliminated by a certain love. In other words, the cure of the love of the world is by another type of love. Subhanallah. You don't understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? The love of the dunya will only be eliminated by another love. How will it be eliminated? By love itself. When love and love clash, then here, the love of the world will be extracted by love. How? That whichever love is more than this dunya, obviously, if there's a certain love which is greater, stronger than this dunya, then that will eliminate the dunya love from us. Subhanallah. You don't understand what I'm saying? So now we need that love which is greater and stronger than the love for this world. We need that love. Hubbi dunya, so it can destroy the love of the world dunya. We need another type of love. And no other solution can work apart from this. There's only one solution. What is that? Hubbullah. Hubbullah. The love of Allah. This love, this muhabbat of the dunya, nothing can eliminate it. To eliminate the love of dunya, we need a bigger love, a stronger love. And there's only one love that can destroy the love of the dunya. What is that? The love of Allah. The love of Allah. Say subhanallah. If you want to be detached from the love of this world, if I want to take love of the world out of my heart, and I want to become Allah's, that's it, like the signs I gave you, like the Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions. Yes, this is this. If I get it, fine. If it's mine, it's mine. Otherwise, fine. No problem. No complaints. Every companion had this style. They had this or not, tell me. The reason was this, that in their heart was what? The love of the world had been destroyed. How was it eliminated? What did their sheikh teach them? Subhanallah, what a great sheikh. Hubbullah, he instilled into their hearts. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first action he did with his students, with his murids, was the love of the world was extracted and he'd instill the love of Allah into their hearts. You understand what I'm saying? So crying, complaining, won't give us, oh, how do I take this out? Oh, I try my best. Oh, this is a waste of time. Stand up straight, be sincere, and start looking and seeking that I need to take the love of the dunya to mind. There's only one way. What is that? Hubbullah, the love of Allah. That's it. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we're following a sequence, isn't it? So we're coming with a good sequence, a good order, understanding. So we said that how do we take the love of the dunya out of our heart? So the solution has come, is it? What's the solution? Allah's love needs to be instilled. And whose love should we create? The love of Allah. Why? Because it comes, the love of the dunya is in the heart. And Allah's love will come in the heart. But only in one heart, you can only have one love, not two. I'll give you the example that you can't have in one house the two. Like for example, one is married and one isn't. So a person got one and then he does the second, he has the second partner, then they are both in the same house and he's out, he's been turfed out and he's free, he's kicked out. So they'll take him from the heirs, both of them, and they say, you get out of it. Where did you come from? So be satisfied on the one. Even if by mistake you try to take the step. Until we don't have a wife, we have so much desire, I want to get married. Married after marriage says, oh, I'm stuck now. Okay, so you can fulfill that desire. So in one house, when you have two wives cannot be looked after properly, separate houses, you can't keep them in one house. So in the same way, in one heart, you cannot have the two opposite loves. Either is Allah's love or there's the love of the dunya. And if Allah's love is there, then you will have no sign of the love of the world. Desires are eliminated from that person. That's it. Apart from you, O Mahmoobi Haqiqi, there's nobody else, nobody else. Apart from you, Mahmoobi Haqiqi, there's nobody else, nobody else at all. That's it, it's just Allah. Okay, fine. So now what do we need? Hubbe? Love of? We want to eliminate love of the world, what do we need to replace that? Love of Allah. So what do we do now? Say Subhanallah. Or if to go further, so where do we get love of Allah then? Is this a minor thing, love of Allah, that made those people, the Sahaba Karam? If a person has Hubbullah, he becomes a high level human being, he becomes a Ghawth. And there's a method for that. Where do we get love of Allah from? Where do we acquire that from? Allah says, now I'm quiet, my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will tell you. I was to tell you, I told you everything up till now. Now this solution, that how do we attain Allah's love? Now he will tell you who is the head of teaching this subject, the Sardar, the king. Come, Allah says, I'll step back now. My Mahbub sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will tell you now. Qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now you tell them, oh my Nabi. Allah says, I'll step back. And Rasulullah said, I will tell you now the tariqah, the method. Allah's love, how do you acquire this? So what this now, what's the sequence we're following? This hadith is coming now. First, what did I say to you in the beginning? That definitely those individuals of intention and desire that we want to change our life for the better, if in front of them you present a hadith, they will super glue themselves to the hadith. Immediately they will change themselves. That's what I said right at the beginning, isn't it? So now comes the hadith. Imamul Anbiya is speaking, the head of the prophets. Now life should change. Every woman and man who is listening now to this, that Allah is giving us a chance to this, that you can improve your life and change your life for the better. That the meaning of changing your life isn't change your face, appearance, change your hand, or look different, or change everything. No. Improving the life means the love of the world needs to be extracted and bring Allah's love inside. That's it. Desires, the life of desires, eliminated. Nothing at all. Whatever Allah gives, be happy. Alhamdulillah, that's it. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will tell you that how will hubb al-dunya come out of you and how will hubb Allah come to you. Hazrat, a prophet of Allah, a companion of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he narrated hadith in Sahih Mishkat. I'm not an alim, a scholar, I'm just a fakir, so I share the hadith with you. That this is a confirmed method and word. Who can tell us more confirmed and 100% confirmed than this apart from the Holy Prophet? Is there anyone? Yes? And one companion comes. Razin, Hazrat Abu Razin, radiyallahu anhu. May Allah be pleased him. He said that I heard from the Holy Prophet, he said to me, سمعت, I heard the Prophet ﷺ said to me, my mother and father, my own self, everything is sacrificed for the Holy Prophet ﷺ. What did he say? O Razin, shall I tell you such an action today? Subhanallah, such a point today. That your dunya will be looked after and your hereafter will be looked after and you will have enjoyment and success beyond success. That dunya that you want to attain through the love of the world, I'll tell you such a formula, a secret, that this dunya and the hereafter This world and the hereafter you will attain. What is that? Hubballah, the love of Allah. Shall I tell you that raz, that secret that will give you this? That all of the worries and issues and distress of the world will go, where will I eat from? Where will I drink from? How will I do this? How will I do that? Job, employment. Everything will come out of your mind and heart. And the necessities of your life, whatever you need and you acquire, you will be content and at peace. And the rest of the time you will remember me, Allah says. For the objective I sent you to the world, to remember me, to please me. SubhanAllah, the Sahabi said, Ya Rasulullah, please tell us. Tell me that how can I extract this dunya from my heart? This counting the money, when will this finish? These counting the notes, when will this finish? So many sharia boundaries I break, I run after the money, the world, when will this finish? I pray salah like this, I keep the fast like this, I do hajj like this, I do umrah like this. Ya Allah, when will these thoughts and desires come out of my body? In the grave, this punishment beyond punishment. The time is now, opportunity is now. Then listen, will we do this action? Put your hands up if you'll do this action. Okay. Leave your hands. So listen then. Nabi SAW said, what is that? This is a hadith in Mishkat. Alayka bi majalisi dhikrullah. The Prophet SAW said, O Razin, that if you want to take the love of the dunya out of your heart and you want to bring the love of Allah, then ahlullah, the people of Allah who do dhikr, then grab hold of and attend their majalis regularly, firmly. But anyone can reject this, tell me. Where are these majalis? Where have they gone now? Yes, this is the sign, the love of the dunya is, everyone is destroyed in the love of the dunya. Busy in the love of the dunya. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that there's nothing else that can take the love of the world out of your heart. Only alayka bi majalisi dhikrullah. Ahlul dhikr. Only the dhikr of the majalis of the ahlul dhikr. The majalis of dhikr, the gatherings of dhikr. When you sit there, company of the mashaykh, from your heart the love of the world will come out and the love of Allah will come into your heart. Those people who have achieved this, ask them. Those whose niyas are corrected, that I want to change myself, I want to improve myself, I want to change myself with this niya, they come and sit in the majlis, I swear by Allah, how will the dunya not come out of the heart? I guarantee that those who come to earn the dunya, then they will earn the dunya. All of the point of success for a human being is on his niya. The same Kaaba, if you go and look and do dua for another intention, that you will get that intention. Whatever intention you have, you will get the thawab based on that intention. That Allah says that all actions are according to the intentions. The fault is not of the Kaaba. It's the fault of the individual. Somebody goes to Saudi Arabia to make money, to do wealth, to do tijarah, to sell perfume, to sell fragrance, to get a job, employment. And somebody goes to Kaaba just to look at the Kaaba. Is there a difference? Everybody is there. Everybody is there in front of the Kaaba. But there's a difference of the niyyah, the intention. And Allah Ta'ala judges according to the niyyah. The person who comes to the gathering of a wali Allah, if he comes khalis, purely to change himself, to extract the love of the dunya and to bring hope of Allah inside him. And if he's come to this majlis gathering, he has no requirement for anything else, he says, the person who attends. So then how will the love of the dunya not come out of the heart then? And you'll be floating in the air. So before Islam, first and foremost, the first action is niyyah, intention, that I really want to improve and change myself. When his intention becomes like this with this niyyah, and then any action, he will never do any action against the desire and the wish of his teacher, instruction, will he? Because he's come to be corrected, improved. Yes, he will understand the signs of the teacher. The Sahaba Ikram, they weren't given instructions, they understood by the signs what is our Master SAW saying. Because they were honest people. Say SubhanAllah. Yes, they used to understand through the hints, just through the hints, the signs. So he stated, Alaysa bimajalisi dhikrullah. The majlis of the walis of Allah, grab hold of them strongly, firmly, and this hadith continues. إِذَا خَلْوَتْ When you are alone, isolation, then move your tongue with what? With dhikrullah. In other words, immerse yourself, make yourself busy, occupied, according to the amount of strength you have. Just do one action. What is that? Remember Allah. Remember Allah. Subhanallah. Look at that. Look at the cure that Allah gives. When you love a friend of Allah, attach yourself to a friend of Allah, and you have love for him, then consider that you have acquired the love of Allah. Yes, big great Darvish Pastor Azad Maghzoob, that I just read to you his verse, his poem. That apart from you, Allah, Mahbub the Haqiqi, there's nobody else, nobody else. He was Azad Maghzoob, rahmatullahi. And Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat, he was from his highest, greatest khulafa. He wasn't some minor person. He was a deputy collector at that time. It was the British Empire, and the Muslims didn't get those posts or those jobs. Yeah, maybe, that, for example, where did the English people allow them to get these big posts? Because it was their rule, their empire. So he was a deputy collector, big, high post, you know, job. Very high post it was at that time. And Hazrat, he saw him. Hazrat saw him. And he became faqir, waliyallah. And he was so close to his sheikh that, mashallah, he had different students. Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat, Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat rahmatullah alayhi, had different students. And he was from the high grade khulafa. Everybody knew him. There were other khalifas at that time of Hazrat Sahab. And he had so much love with his sheikh Hazrat. He had love for his sheikh. He had so much love and attachment that what was the incident? That he went to his gathering, his majlis, to Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat rahmatullah's gathering. And that time he was a worldly person. When he went there, he questioned Hazrat. He said, "The Hazrat, that there are cures. I've heard from you that there's a cure, and the biggest restriction and the hurdle is what? Is the dunya, the love of the dunya, like I'm telling you today. So the love of the dunya, that it will come out due to another love." He said this to Hazrat. "So tell me, the muhabbat, where will I get this love from?" This was the question he put to his sheikh, Hazrat Sahab. So what did Hazrat Sahab say in response? He said, "The love, where will you get the love? Go to a wali Allah and stick yourself to his shoes." These were his words. Who is saying this? Who is saying this response? Not some minor grade Sufi. Not some minor grade Sufi is saying this. Who is saying this? Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat rahmatullah alayhi, who is high grade wali Allah, muhaddith, tell me, high grade scholar. Wali Allah, author of kitabs, books, every field of Islam, high grade scholar. He is saying this as the cure. We say, "Oh no, who is this speaking here? Just some minor person. Oh, some alim." If we say this, he say, "Oh, what's this dhikr? What are you talking about? These gatherings and majalis. Why is you running after walis of Allah and sheikhs?" He is saying this himself, who wrote tafsir of Quran, thousands of kitabs. He is saying this in response. Yes, he said that. So he could have just said, "Do this wazifa," and that's it. So it wasn't hard for him to answer Tanvi Sahib. Was it difficult for him to answer? No. He had knowledge. What was it for him then? The solution. He was the alim of his time, the scholar of his time. And now you will be happy that your grandfather Sheikh and my Sheikh, they attained tarbiyat and education from Hazrat Tanvi Sahib. That was my Sheikh from that generation, that where he used to study in Saharanpur in India. Subhanallah. So he said that stick yourself to the shoes of a wali Allah, the company of a wali Allah. Hubbi dunya will come out, love of dunya will come out, love of Allah will come into you. And then he became Maghzoob. Aziz Maghzoob. So much love he had for his sheikh, that student so much loved on his name, he wrote a great poem. A whole diwan he wrote. That he wrote about his teacher, the student. So much love he had. One moment he would not remain away from his teacher. Not a moment. So these paths that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, prescribed to us, these are the paths that will give us the love of Allah, the solution. Yes, you don't make this up. Who is telling us this? Allah Himself, Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the true lover who prescribed the path, as a Tanvi Sahib and people like him, they are telling us the path to success. This is Sahih Hadith. Then the form of a dua, Rasulullah said, ask from Allah, what should you ask from? Allah, give me the love of your love. Subhanallah. What a great dua. Is this not the dua? That Allah, I'm seeking your love, Allah. I'm seeking your love. I need your love so that the world love, the love of the dunya comes out of me. And Allah, I'm seeking your love. What did the Prophet say further in that dua? That Allah, I'm seeking your love through the love of those people who already love you. Subhanallah. And then you will get the love of Allah. Yes, so you're asking Allah for His love via the love of those individuals who already love Allah. Then you'll get the love of Allah. And then Allah's love will instill inside you the desire to do the deeds that will give you the love of Allah. Subhanallah. Do you understand the point, my friends? Yes. But who will do this? Nor do we want to do this, and we want to die like this as well. Why? Because we don't have the niyyah, the desire to change and improve. Oh, the car's driving, let it keep on driving. Deen, this is deen. The true deen is what? What is the true deen? To attain the pleasure of Allah. And how do you attain the pleasure of Allah? That person who takes the love of the world out of his heart. And how do you take the love of the world out of your heart? When? You bring hubballah into your heart. Love of Allah into your heart. This is a hadith, isn't it? Next. And it's stated that when you do this action, that you have the love for a wali Allah, a friend of Allah, and you sit with him, go to his majlis, and you have love for that person. And inside you have the intention that I want to improve myself with the wasila, the company of this person, I want to improve myself. Then after that, what is the guarantee that Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives? Yuhubballah, then you bughzullah, then go, the love of Allah is coming to you, that feeling is coming to you, that your love is all for the sake of Allah. Whatever it is Allah dislikes, you will dislike. In other words, your whole every action will be a reflection of Allah's love. What a great guarantee there is, tell me. This motion, feeling to create, when a person does this action with the depth of his heart, then see further, what does the hadith say? I'm telling you the complete hadith here. It stated that to attain this action, that if a person's sheikh is very far away, like 3,000 miles away, my sheikh, I used to travel that far from here to go to Hazaza, wherever Allah gives a sheikh, I used to travel that far. Yes, it's stated in it, that when you post a letter in the post box, where the post box is, when you put the letter in that post box, that's where you're going to put it, isn't it? Wherever the post box is. If you need to post a letter, and wherever the post box you find it, you're going to travel there to put the letter in. Maybe you'll get the footstep at your door, somebody far, somebody has to go to the post office, but you have to do it to post the letter. So when you get the post box, I need to write the letter of love. Where did I get the post box? Oh, in Gadai Sharif, I had to travel in Pakistan to get to that company. But those who have courage, determination, they will travel the distance. What do you need for that? That you can surpass all the distances. You need love for that. You need love for that. So this hadith I'm sharing with you now. The meaning of the hadith, that is stated, that individual who goes past all the distances to attend the majalis and sits with his sheikh, and he sees his teacher, and he considers the majlis as a high grade majlis, and he sacrifices his life and his money. This is what you need for this, my friends. Yes, we just sit there. Oh, when it comes automatically, that's fine. Oh, if it comes, I'll do dhikr. If it doesn't, no problem. Oh, it's not coming. Hazrat Sahib's not coming. Why is he not coming? Here. Oh, forget about far. Even here, traveling from one street to the next street, you don't come. What do you want to become? The wali Allah. You can't even go from one street. Your house is on that other street, and you don't want to come to this street to do dhikr. And I've told you the importance, how much there is for the gathering of dhikr. And if you have the true, honest heart, then the word, the penny will drop. The words will absorb. If you have qalb-e siddiqi that you need to develop. Siddiqi qalb. Then listen to the hadith. It stated, to attain this objective, if an individual travels or makes a distance, that let me go and meet my teacher and sit. Doesn't matter how far it is. But with the permission of the teacher, listen to this as well, the adab, the manners. If you don't have ijazah, then you can't come. You can't force yourself. The person who forces himself to come will never succeed. For example, I said before that if a person comes, well, just, I want to come as well. Those people who keep saying this, who force themselves, persist, pester. That due to some wisdom, due to some understanding of a sheikh, places a restriction, a hurdle. That those people who oppose that, tries to force their way in opinion, I'm going to come. Those people are worse than Abu Jahl. They are munafiqs, hypocrites in their heart. The advice, instruction, they don't have no other. It doesn't penetrate. A murid should have this connection with his teacher. Whatever the teacher says, leave, refrain from, is better than 1,000 things for the student. It's better than him thinking, I want to go there. Thousands of times is better than that. The people don't have yaqeen. No, we want to come. Why can't we come? We're going to come behind you. Can we come as well? Can we attend as well? Brothers, that there's a reason that you've been told. There must be a reason, a purpose. A maqsad. Yes? And here this tarbiyah as well. Never persist and pester your teacher and challenge, why can't I do this as well? Why can't I attend as well? Why can't I come as well? That person came, why can't I come? Oh, I'm preparing to come. Whatever that you have already, you will lose that person. Whoever comes like that, whatever he's got, that will also be lost and devoid of. I'll tell you that now. The people who come like this, listen to the good news. They don't leave with anything, and they don't leave anything also when they're gone. They go totally empty. Never receive a person like this who, without ijazah permission, attends the majlis of his sheikh. Doesn't matter where he's come from. No, that's it. It's the choice of the teacher. How can the student challenge? No, welcome a person like that either. I'm telling you this now. Don't, if they come, they also then start running after them. Oh, give them this gift, or you are my guest, or take this. Have you taken the permission from your teacher to do this? Who are you to give a gift to the student who came to travel? If a sheikh comes to the majlis, he comes for the sake of Allah. He doesn't come here to get a gift, or to earn money. Yes, or to come and eat feast at people's houses. Yes, when I went to Hazrat Sahib's majlis, I've learned this from the company of the wali Allah, I'm sharing with you. Then the faqis would come around us. Hazrat Sahib, please eat at our homes today. Come to my house today to eat. Or please go with me to my house today. I was sat there. And I'd seal my ears. The Hazrat Sahib is testing me here. Then let's see what my student does here. I said, the question is, why? How can it be that I've come here to the majlis of my sheikh and I go running to people's houses to eat food, to feast, invitation, taking gifts, and the people who are giving, they're the most stupid. The Hazrat Sahib used to look at them as well. That how weak these people are, my students. What was the conclusion? The result. That the person used to come here, I guess, to get chanda, charity. I won't say the name. Masjid Rahman used to come. I think he stopped coming now. And he used to come, he used to know that I'm going to go there, Manchester, I have the connection, let me make a connection with him so I can stay there, I'll ask for charity and money. Yes, because they have long thoughts and lengthy thoughts. The people of the dunya, they make a connection with wali Allah for a second reason. I told you this, that the person who comes to earn dunya, he will get dunya. This ajeeb, weird game in the dunya, for material, for the dunya, for worldly things. Yes, the person has a connection with the teachers. Oh, I'll go and take advantage as well. I'll also get benefit and I'll also get success and I'll progress as well. Don't do this thing. I used to go to Madinatul Munawwara and the Jamaat used to be with me. And people used to come, dunya used to come. All people, the people who be in the line there. Yes, I'm telling you. So the people who listen in Pakistan, big people used to come from Pakistan. They used to learn dhikr. And from there, one person was a Chief Justice Abdul Rahman Sahib. And I don't know who he is, from Pakistan, Chief Justice. And he was in the line. He also came. Then, yeah, I liked him. Looked like a good person. I don't know who he is. I don't even ask anyone, I have no connection with them. I just look at a person, he's come to learn Allah's name, he's asking for Allah's name, that's it, end of story. So he came, and I taught him dhikr of Allah, and he liked it. And for which reason? That really, alhamdulillah, he had the capacity. He had some qualities that he can acquire as nearness. What a big man. I'm surprised that how much Allah's fadl. MashaAllah, had a beard and his shalwar above his ankles. And mashaAllah, good belief. I gave him a spark. I said, come tomorrow as well. Give him lessons. He came again the next day. And then I was introduced and understood who he was. Then that was it. End of story. Then, you know, I have no connection with asking If, for example, somebody invites me, I'm not worried about that. So then, here a letter of his came, he said, I'm very upset that some people of yours, when I sit down in the high court in my seat, because the judge doesn't mean anyone, he has a method. He said, people, they came to visit me, people who know you. That's it. He said, they just came to discuss and to, and those people, the Jamaat who are with you. And I was very sad. I said, that I seek, apologize. I give you ijazah that you can tell them not to come, not to visit you. So brothers, this ma'amala, this situation, that keep this separate. Hubb al-dunya, don't look for the love of the dunya after you're going to your sheikh. The dunya will be destroyed, just like Rasulullah gives guarantee that when you go to the majalis, to a sheikh, to a teacher, then only have one niyyah, one intention. The wahid, solely, we have come to you for this reason. What? Hubb Allah, to attain the love of Allah. Not any other requirement, no other sadness or concern. Only the love of Allah we've come to learn from you, O teacher. Yes, we've rejected everything else. We are astray. We can't find a solution. So Allah's Nabi Sallam gave us a solution. We have arrived there. Please take the love of the dunya out of our hearts, O Wali Allah, and put the love of Allah into our hearts. That's when a person succeeds. So, stated hadith. So I'll come back to the hadith, isn't it? That individual who with this intention goes to meet a wali Allah, a friend of Allah, a pious person, a good person, that he wants to learn and acquire Allah's love. He wants to learn this. He wants to spend time for this. With this niyyah he goes, with this intention, then it's stated, doesn't matter how far he's coming from. As soon as he starts that journey, just like, mashallah, you have come, you're sitting here, you've got ijazah to come, no one else has got permission. Definitely those people have permission, they've come, they're ashiks, they're lovers, mashallah. But those who have any, don't have ijazah, understand it, there must be some reason for it. What's this? Oh, can we come? Am I allowed to come? I want to come as well, I've started preparing to come. This is munafiqat, hypocrisy. Ijazah, if you go, definitely come. If you've got permission, if you haven't got ijazah, doesn't matter in the majalis, nor in our Thursday night, nor in the ijtima. Those who come to the ijtima, they come, take them to get out. No one is ijazah from any country to come. And those who did these actions and gave gifts, then do istighfar on this. If you hosted them without the sheikh's permission, was they destroyed as well? And you yourself, the host, are destroyed, losing out. If the guest comes for the sake of dhikr, you have no connection with that person, that you sit behind him, who are you, where have you come from, nothing at all. Leave that person totally free. And you're running after him, want to speak to you, this and those who did these actions, a person came to make friendship, yes, to do this or that, to do other actions, and they incurred their loss. They are greedy for the dunya, those people, and they haven't got love in their hearts here. They didn't sit for that reason. They have come to earn the dunya. They are the dunya mamla they're looking for in the khanka, in the company of the sheikh, the teacher. They grab hold of people and they look for people. Who is this come? And, oh, can I get success from this person? Will I be able to use this person for this purpose, for this purpose? These are those people who will be rejected in the hereafter. These are those people, Abu Jahl. Because they came to earn the dunya, they didn't come to learn the hereafter. So your job, your duty is what? Who is this? Do salam to him. Do salah to the person. Look at that person. Follow that person. Don't even imagine doing these things. One individual, if I don't have a person, I don't have a personal relationship with anybody. I used to go only to see the face of the sheikh and that was it. It was just me. End of story. I had no personal question. Or do you think I went there for worldly reasons? Material reasons? The question doesn't arise. All the dunya used to go to Miskinpur. You know, it used to be the ijtima. All the people used to go for the ijtima. Hazrat Sahib used to say, the whole gathering, Hazrat Sahib said, amongst thousands, and Mufti Sattar Sahib had come, the Mufti of Pakistan came there to the gathering to take bayah from Hazrat Sahib. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, he had a connection with him, and he had khalafah from Shaykh al-Hadith, Hazrat, who was Sufi Iqbal Sahib from Medina Tum Namra. He had khalafah from him, and the Rasulullah gave him ishara, advice to go and learn dhikr from, there's a fakir of mine, a wali in Gadai Sharif, go to him and learn dhikr from him. He's a Naqshbandi sheikh. So this silsila, he came from there, from Medina to Manawara to my Hazrat Sahib to learn sheikh. And nobody knew Sufi Iqbal Sahib, I'm speaking about him. And in front of me, he said, Hazab, Hazur has sent me. And obviously, he must have seen a dream. So maybe his connection with Rasulullah, he was given. He saw a dream. And the people are going, are there? What connection should they have with the Prophet? They speak with the Prophet. They have ziyarah, the dream, Mustafa. They know best, and Allah knows best. We have no worry about that. But he said, the Hazur has sent me. And mashallah, because Gadai Sharif is a very small town, very hard to get there. He said, I've arrived there with this hukam. I'm present here. Please teach me Naqshbandi dhikr. And how far is he from him, that place? Tell me, for the people of Baltimore, where are you? Why don't you listen to these words? Learn the dhikr of Allah. Learn the dhikr of Allah. So this dunya, once embedded in our hearts, that Allah Ta'ala says, my Mahbub, I swear by your age that these people are immersed in the dunya. They have no knowledge of the success. This is the Quranic verse. That's how the person gets fallen in the trap of dunya. Nothing else. It's just one dunya, worldly things, material things. We don't understand what is dhikr. Dhikr of Allah. Mandinatul Manawra, he was sent to go and learn Naqshbandi zikr. He's a sheikh and he'll give you jaza. You already have a teacher, but go. And today, subhanAllah, he sat there, the fakir. He came to Hazrat Sahab and he learned dhikr completely from Hazrat Sahab. He learned the asbaq, the lessons. And this is a waqia, an incident that happened recently. So he said that when, and who's saying this? Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying. He gave us all these asool, the principles, the tariqah, that when you go to a wali Allah with the permission to meet him, then what happens? Because there is hubbullah that you will receive, love of Allah, and you're going to eliminate dunya. When you sit up, then 70,000 angels will travel with you. How many? 1, 2, 3, count, 70,000 angels. And with every angel, how many angels are there? You don't know how many angels are there with them. And they said that those angels, Allah's Nabi, how is he telling us this? He must be seeing. We don't know. Allah knows and Allah's Rasul knows. We have no worry about that. No concern. But he said, the 70,000 angels are with that human being. They start traveling with him. And they don't go empty-handed. They've given him an official protocol that you're not the same human being. Because you have taken steps and you went to that beloved servant of Allah, the Wali Allah, his company. And you are going to see the great face of the Wali Allah. You're going to do his ziyarah. The dunya doesn't recognize him. Allah recognizes him. You are going that direction. The 70,000 angels are accompanying you on that journey. Look at the status of the Wali Allah, the great status of the Wali Allah. The people of the world, they swear at them. They swear at the Wali Allah. And this is the Zakareen, the glory of the Zakareen. The Allah's Nabi is saying, Sahih Mishkat Hadith, Abu Razin radiallahu anhu. Read it. That how great is the status of the Wali Allah. Yes, and for the people of the world, they have no respect for the Wali Allah. Such a great Wali Allah, you're going to his company. 70,000 angels accompany you on that trip. And they don't just accompany you, they're giving du'as to you whilst you're traveling. Du'as. What du'as are they saying? That du'a also Allah's Nabi Sallam is explaining to us. What a great hadith I'm sharing with you, O Sufis. You should value my words. The 70,000 angels accompany him and they do dua for him. And listen to that dua. You must listen to this dua. The dua of the angels, how will it not be accepted? Allah accepts the dua of every human being. The angels say, Allah, this man, he's not traveling from a minor action. That if you love whoever you love, for who you, he's doing dua, he's going to do ziyarah for that, of that person. He's going to the majlis of that person. Allahu Akbar. This individual is going to his majlis. So Allah, we do dua to you. That his objective, we know what it is. He's not going to earn any dunya. He's khalis, pure individual. He is going to attain your love. Because in his face of the Wali Allah, he will see your tajliyat, your magnificence. He will sit in the company of the Shaykh. He'll see your anwarat. And mashallah, that he is running to your Wali Allah's company. He's running. He's going quickly. Allah, we are praying for him. That Allah, he's your lover. You also start to love this person. Allahu Akbar. Imagine this dua. So the servant, how can he leave the gathering empty-handed? This is what I say, one moment in the company of the awliya Allah, with a real strong intention, a person departs. I want to change myself. And for changing and improving himself, he travels. He goes on the journey. And Allah and His angels are doing dua for him. And the angels do dua for that person. These are the words that Rasulullah has taught us. And they're doing dua, the angels, will the angels' dua not be accepted? And if he goes and he doesn't return, change person? Question doesn't arise. One journey I took to change. One sitting with my Shaykh, Hazrat Sahab. And I had an honest intention in the heart. Just said one statement. Hazrat Sahab said, what kya chahte ho? Where have you come to me? I said, I've come to leave the dunya and I want the love of Allah. I'm telling you my story. Hazrat Sahab said, if you come to get this, Hazrat Sahab, set up, alert. Set up, alert, attentive. Hazrat Sahab said that you've come to say this to me. I said, yes, this is the reason I've come for. I don't know anything else. Why? Because subhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala allowed me to say this statement so I could get success. And Hazrat took his blanket aside and he sat up. He said, you come to get this? I said, I come to this. I got scared. Hazrat said, Babu, you are young. You are a real man. Then he sat up. He said, don't move from here now. This action will be completed with you. It was Zuhr time. It was hot days. 1:30 was Zuhr at that time. And Asr was approximately 6 p.m. It was hot, wasn't it? Lengthy days. Summer days. They were long days. From 1 o'clock, I sat in front of Hazrat Sahab after praying Salah. And it was 6 p.m. And I was in the Hujra. Me and Hazrat Sahab alone, nobody else came. 6 p.m. that we didn't move, and after praying Salah there, everybody left. Then we sat down again. Then Maghrib Azan took place. Maghrib Namaz. Tell me how many hours. Then we were alone again. Hazrat said, you've come to get this. You can't leave empty handed now. And that time I had no beard. I had nothing. But I asked, didn't I? I'm telling you, ask for Allah. Everywhere you will get Allah. But have the niyyah, the intention. That I was fed up of the dunya. I was fed up of the dunya. I said, Allah, I don't feel like my heart in the dunya. Waste of time. Nothing did I like in the dunya. And I was desperate. Allah, where can I find your love? Then Maghrib time came. Tell me how many hours have passed. From 1 until 7, 8 p.m. The people, my housefolk were upset. They're finding me. Where's my son? Where's he gone? The servants, the workers, that was there. We had quite, mashallah, a lot of them. And I was hungry. I'd come from England. They said, where's he gone? They said, have you seen him? Have you seen him? No one could think. I was sat in a hujra with the wali alam. What was happening with him? Nobody could imagine. Maghrib time came. After Maghrib, it was Maraqaba in the Khanqah. Ajib dynasty, I'm telling you. Ajib story. Great story, I'm telling you here. There was Maraqba used to take place after Maghrib, after Isha, the sometimes after Maghrib, depending on the time. So as soon as Maraqba occurred, and after the Maraqba, all the gathering, 150, 200 people were in Maraqba at that time. All Darvish, mashallah, one to one Wali Allah, all of them. Arif Billah's majlis, how great a majlis it was, imagine yourself. What Darvish Wali of Allah used to come there. Ajib, unique Wali of Allah, so spiritual. All there sat there, submission. As soon as Maraqba finished, Hazrat Sahab stood up and he grabbed my hand. Hazrat Sahab took my hand and he lifted my arm. And the rest history proves until today, 70 years, 80 years, we have never seen this scene, they said. My hand, Hazrat Sahab lifted my arm and said, this young man from today will do dhikr himself and he will teach people dhikr. And he gave me khilafat. Did I ask for khilafat? I didn't even know. Everyone stood up with adab, respect, and they bowed their heads. That this man, he has no beard and he has no appearance. What is this? And the senior Jamaat members, at that time they arrived to Hazrat Sahab. They said, Hazrat Sahab, please explain to us a masala. That this man, he came from England, on his face he has no beard, and he has no Tamiz manners. How, where has he come from? And so quickly you've elevated his levels. Hazrat Sahab said, one statement in response. Listen to this. The rewards of Allah, when does a person get them? Listen to Hazrat Sahab's reply. At what stage does Allah get happy with a human being? Allah is happy, then you get the reward, isn't it? With which stage is Allah happy? So I'm telling you the statement, the response of Hazrat Sahab. They said, Ya Babu, you are right. My colleagues, you are saying the right thing. He has no amal, you can't see it. Apparently he didn't have. But one thing I did, that I made his nafs, I crushed his desires. The person who crushes his desires becomes successful. So Hazrat Sahab said, I've crushed his desires. That 10 hours Hazrat Sahab set me down in his company. When Hazrat Sahab, that he crushed my desires, he removed my desires. And this is the truth of the story that I've shared with you. Yes. not on this was my money spent, nothing at all. Just you have to sell yourself, assign yourself, hand yourself over. For what? For hubbullah, for the sake of Allah's love. That's it. If you run around dunya, I want to get this as well, one dunya, material, hazard as well, worldly things as well, they will get nothing at all. In the company of the wali, you will get one thing, wahdahu la sharika lahu, Allah, 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 nothing else will you get in the company of the wali Allah. That's it. So my brothers, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, such a darwish, if you go to meet a pious person like this, 70,000 angels accompany you, do dua. Allah, you also love this person, like he's going to attain your love. And the next statement Allah says, Allah is now addressing the ummah via Razin, so you also listen. Because definitely Rasul sallam is telling us now, that such a lengthy word discussion we've had today, the secret that I've unraveled in front of you to attain Allah, the method, that the objective that you've been sent to the world to get Allah's love, that the love of Allah, to attain that you must leave the world. The people are leaving the world without the success. They're leaving the world without attaining the objective. They're getting buried in the graves without attaining the objective. Allah's Nabi said, oh Razin, listen, I've told you all the hints. Now, until as long as you have energy in your body, in your breaths, in your life, then listen to me. Keep on doing this action. So has the message been delivered? Now let's see who is a man who raises as a man, and who has the love of dunya, and who has the love of Allah. So where did we start from? Where did we start from? We have to keep repeating the discussion, because my students are unique. Intention. Correct your intentions. That we have come to Hazrat Sahib with just one intention. And what is that? To extract the love of dunya, the love of the world. That's it. Just what our Shaykh says, we will do. As long as the love of the world doesn't come out of our heart, until that time, we cannot be successful. When the love of world comes out, we can only come out by being replaced by love of Allah. This is the clash in front of us in our lives. That's it. Whoever is successful in this, and he removes the love of the dunya, and every action will become easy for that person. And where he sees Allah, and it's for the sake of Allah. Not for the sake of maal or wealth, not for money, not for fame, not for being fake, not for showing off, not for pretense. That's it. Just one intention. That, am I getting the pleasure of Allah in this? Fine. End of story. They're here. Why should I work here? Because I want to please Allah. Definitely do the job to please Allah. Yes. Why are you doing this action? To please Allah. 1%, even if it's for some other reason, who will that be, that person in the hereafter? Listen, what a great statement I'm telling you. Even if it's -1% intention, away from the intention to please Allah in your action, then how will he raise? He will rise as a mushrik, as a mushrik. Shirk is a big reality. La sharika lahu. Allah's Nabi said, never do shirk. Break it up. How? That any action you do, which is not for the sake of Allah, lilayyad, any action which is not attaining Allah's pleasure and happiness, and you do the action, then you'll be a mushrik. Today, I'm doing this action, I'm doing that action, society action, doing it for this purpose, for that purpose, for this reason, I'm doing all of this. Every actions you are doing, all the actions. But you become a mushrik at the same time, remember this. Am I doing shirk, or is shirk coming into my life due to these? That what we consider ibadah could be shirk. It could be shirk. Lillayat is the oneness of Allah. How is it? With which shirk have you extracted the dunya from your heart? Oh no, I don't need to follow that. Then it can't come in your heart. If you have not spent the time in the company of a shirk, then no way can the love of dunya come out of your heart. You have to grab hold of their shoes and adhere to the company of the teacher, of the sheikh. You have to become dust in their company. Dust, my friends. Only this is the mujahida for us. The biggest ibadah worship to attain the nearness of Allah is this. The wali Allah, immerse yourself in his company. For which reason? For the sake of Allah. One other hadith I'll share with you. Yeah, just remember it now, I'd like to share it with you. It's a love of muhabbat. Yes, the narrator of this hadith is Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. It's narrated in Mishkat. Has Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. He's a gathering of the lovers, so it's a hadith based on love. And I'm going to explain this hadith in my style. Has Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Subhanallah, he said, Yes, he said that one lover, and he loves Allah, and the other person lives in the Maghrib, the West. So one person lives in the East, he loves Allah. For example, if you love someone, and your sheikh is far from you, he's in the West and you're in the East. That's the meaning of this hadith. If your sheikh is far, and you give your all for him and you love him, because he's meeting you to Allah, he's introducing you to Allah, he's connecting you to Allah, so you are loving him. That's why I said, that's why you go to a sheikh, because he connects you to Allah. So if you are fana, you love your teacher and you're desperate in his memory, and your sheikh is in the West and you're in the East, they state on the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states that both of them will be joined together, and I will put them together and I will call them and say, yes, both of you had love and you loved each other for the sake of me. Come, I have put you together here today. Subhanallah. What a great thing. Do you understand this hadith? Or you don't understand? That a great piece of news, though, whoever you love, Allah says, I promise to you that thereafter you will be put together. You will be raised together. So at least love somebody. Try it out. You say you love this person, you love this person, I love this person. This is not love. This is not love. Love is, Allah says, give the promise that from the Mashriq to the West to the East, both will be put together on the Day of Judgment. Allah says, I'll connect both and say that, are you now not together? Why are you now together? Even though you are different in your status and levels, but I've connected you because you used to love me for my sake, Allah says, and that's why I've allowed you to come to paradise and you're together. So he had a higher status than you, the person. And you couldn't reach to his status, but it was your love that forced me that I also take you to that level high up as well. Subhanallah. So do you enjoy this hadith or not? Tell me. So become lovers, become lovers. Love somebody. Those walis of Allah, their darajat will be higher, just like a sahabi said, the companion. And he started to cry. Why are you crying? Why are you crying? He said, yeah, I come here to the gathering. And in the evening, after the day, I work, I come and I run so I can just see you, so I can get peace and of my heart. He's crying. And then the Prophet said, then the next day this happens, then I come again after working, then I run to your gathering, because I can't live without this. I cannot live without this, without seeing you. I leave everything, I just come again to do your ziyarah, to see your blessed face. Then he's cried and said, Ya Rasulullah, when we die, where you will be and where will I be? You'll be so high, I'll be so low. What a great, great point of the Quran comes this, if somebody can remember this verse. Read it. That you will be with that person who you love. This is that verse, isn't it? So Allah Ta'ala, He was always watching the emotions of the heart. He knows the niyyah, the intention. Why has he got up? Why has he come? What's his connection? Every single thing Allah responds to. Straight away Allah says that, why are you worried about? You will be with that person who you love. As Anas radiallahu anhu said that we, after becoming Muslims, never felt so much happiness, all of the Sahaba, than we did on that day when we got that great piece of news that we will be with he who we love. It was like our Eid that day. That whoever you love, you will be with those. We all claim to have love based on our style and our manner, our method. But there are very few people who really love. Qaleelun, the sign I've told to you of those who love. Who are they? Yes, they don't do drama. Subhanallah. So lengthy discussion, beautiful words. May Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq and ability that we can do amal on this. Today's message, I will repeat. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that until, as long as you have inside you the love of the world, then do one thing, that attend the gatherings of the Ahlullah strongly. That's it. As long as you have life in you, adhere to and stick to the gatherings of the Ahlul Dhikr. Yes, alayka bi majalis dhikrullah, the Ahlul Dhikr. Now point comes out here, let me clear it. Every majlis, we say it's the majlis of the Ahlul Dhikr. We say this, don't we? Yes. And so we say the fazail, we give bayan of the majalis of dhikr, for which this hadith is it. But we say this is all dhikr majlis, this is all dhikr majlis. So in this hadith, specifically, there's a point that's been explained, is this, that only alayka bi majalis ahlul dhikr, about which he said, where Allah Ta'ala's dhikr is performed. Clay, Allah's Nabi Sallam made this point. Why? Because the majlis, alayka bi majlis, he didn't say. He said, idha khalwatan, when you're alone, then also do this, keep your tongue moist in the dhikr of Allah. So after that, when you leave the gathering, even in seclusion, when you're alone, repeat that dhikr, that the shaykh, what he's prescribed to you. Clear this point, isn't it? That confusion. Yes. The way the word here is dhikr, majlis of dhikr, then it has to be with regards to the majlis of dhikr, the gathering of dhikr. Otherwise it cannot be dhikr, if it's not specifically dhikr majlis. You understand what I'm saying? Yes. So Allah's Nabi Sallam made this point clear as well, that that majlis in which specifically dhikr is performed, where Allah Ta'ala's remembrance is done. So when you return from that, and even in khalwat, when you're alone, you do the same dhikr that you did there. This is the case, isn't it? So then, remember this as well. The dhikr majlis, only you can consider and accept and say that is a gathering of dhikr, which is specifically, all the other gatherings are high, great, they're all of a maqam, but they are different. The gathering of dhikr is unique and specifically set apart from the other gatherings. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. So if Allah's Nabi Sallam is praising, defining the gathering due to dhikr, then it's specifically that praise is for the dhikr of Allah. The majlis that Allah Ta'ala is praising, يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُودًا وَلَجُمْدًا, that you have to say is dhikr for which Allah has given this reward. Specifically. Not for every other type of general dhikr. It's this specific dhikr that Allah is mentioning. وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا, is specific dhikr of Allah. Physical. Yes? Some people say dhikr is salah is dhikr, five times salah is dhikr, that's all dhikr. The people say out of their passion, no. The point is, the real masala is this, that where dhikr is mentioned, then is dhikr specific. Remembrance of Allah, not other meaning of any other worship. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen. Come, let's do the real action now, for which Allah Ta'ala has gathered us, assembled us, because we just praised and introduction. Let's do dua to Allah, that Allah today's dhikr, give us such a dhikr today, that from our heart the love of dunya comes out and your love comes in. That should be our niyyah, intention. Ameen. Recite the rushdie. I every day think that I'll just speak for half an hour, but Allah Ta'ala increases it by more time. More time. This, mashallah, your blessings, your barakat, that Allah increases it. Subhanallah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. As-salatu was-salamu ala sayyidina al-mursalin. Shafi'in al-muslimin. Wa ta'ala wa yasin al-habib al-nabiyin. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina al-mulana al-muhammadin al-nabiyin al-mujiyin. Yasuhajih wa ma'ad al-mu'minin. Wa suzijatihi wa ahli baytihi. Allahumma salli. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وسلوكنا حسنا وجدنا خطبنا ولنا كل سر مننا اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمت وما اخرت وما اسررت وما اعلنت انت المقدم وانت المؤخر لا اله الا انت ربنا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا كنا من الخاسرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب لا مقل بالقلوب ثبت قلبي على دينك اللهم ثبتنا الإيمان وأمتنا الإيمان وأشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا شافي المرض اشف مرضنا يا شافي المرض اشف مرضنا يا شافي المرض اشف مرضنا ہماری اتنی خاتون دن دن میں بیچاری بہت سخت بیمار ہیں ہمارے ہلکے سے کافی دنوں سے بیماری چل رہی ہے ان کی اب کیمی ہو رہا ہے ان کی دعا فرمائیں بہت پریشان ہیں بیچاری اللہ پاک ان کو صحت کامل عاج نصیب فرمائے صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعليه صحبه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين